Welcome to my daily teaching video. It is great to have you here with me. Grab a Bible, a notepad, a pen, and I'm going to be teaching in a moment from day 3 of my book, Personal Vision. So we're going to be talking today all about prophetic questions, the questions God asks of us that aren't really so much questions. They're not questions because God doesn't know the answer. They're invitations to meet God in a new place. And invitations to come to a higher place in your relationship with God. Really good stuff. Hey, let me do a few quick housekeeping things. This day 3 is part of a series I'll be teaching for around about a month, all on the theme of developing, writing down the vision, the plan God has for your life. I encourage you to go back and look at the other videos. There should be a link somewhere around you to do that. Hey, let me say as well, if you are new to my ministry, my name is Graham Jones. I'm a Brit. I'm now an American. I'm also French figure. And part of what I do with these videos is I want to get the Word of God, the message of faith, the Spirit-filled life in front of people, and we have over 1 million subscribers to this channel right now. These videos are watched in places like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Philippines, Indonesia, all kind of places like that. So I have a new challenge for you. If you'd like to help me with this mission, I have a vision this year to expand the budget of this ministry and to put these videos in front of more and more people. So I'm looking for some help, for some partners to help me do that. Drop me a line if you're interested in that. Subscribe or hit the email newsletter for more details with that. Secondly, if you are watching this video and you're not sure who Jesus is, you're not sure if he's real, if you're real, if you're a Christian, I'd love to help you with that. I have a video and a little PDF to help you get born again. Same thing if you are born again but you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sadly, there are many evangelicals in America who are not taught the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit. We'd love to get you baptized in the Holy Spirit. Drop me a line if I can help you with that. Thirdly, I do have a wonderful book, Personal Vision. I would really encourage you to get a copy of this from Amazon. Great book. There'll be a link below, but if you don't even want to buy this, I will send you one of these for free. When you sign up for our email newsletter, we'll give everybody a copy of this as a PDF download. It's a link below. And lastly, yes, I have an email newsletter with lots of news, blogs, articles, books I'm reading, thoughts, coffee I'm drinking, random things. I encourage you to sign up for that below. You get a free book when you do that. Bang! Let's continue talking about vision. So we've been talking for several days about the idea that God has this glorious, stupendous vision for your life. You know, the church I grew up in is in the UK. I could be exaggerating now, but it seemed to me that every single week somebody would pray a prayer. It's a quote from Isaiah or Isaiah. They pray a verse from 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Bang. And whenever somebody would pray that prayer, it could have always been the same person, I'm not sure, but they'd always end with the words, Amen. They'd say, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, Amen. Or they'd always spin that prayer into one day, when we go to heaven, when Jesus returns, it'll all be worth it. One day we'll see, we'll go, wow, look what you prepared for those who you loved, us. One day we'll see all of these things. Now, of course, I can't really disagree at any level with that thought, because when we get to heaven, we will go, wow, look what a great place you prepared for us. In fact, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. But while that verse, you can kind of poetically take it in that sense, that's not actually what Paul is saying or what Isaiah said. In fact, the very next verse, 1 Corinthians 2 says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, we haven't grasped the things that God has prepared for us, but God has revealed, has. The old King James said, hath, past accomplished. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The next verse says, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God know no man except the spirit of God. The next verse, I can quote the whole chapter, says, we have not received the spirit of the world, we've received the spirit of God. And then he tells us why we've received the spirit of God, that we might know the things which have been, already been, given to us freely from God. And it's vital we get that. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit, power to witness, amen. To speak in tongues, yes, amen. For comfort, for joy, I mean, a million times yes and amen to all of those. But one of the main reasons you've been filled with the Holy Spirit is that you would know what eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, what hasn't entered in the heart of man, but that the Holy Spirit would reveal those things to you. And I think, again, let's look at those things. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. That's really what we're talking about in this book here. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared things for you. In eternity future, yes and amen. But God has prepared things for you in what Paul calls in Galatians 1, this present evil world. God has a plan for you now. God has a purpose for you now. God has prepared things for you now. And it's one thing that we simply derive comfort by saying, God has a plan. I don't know what it is, but God has a plan. Whenever somebody says to me, oh, God has a plan, I go, awesome, amen, high five. What's the plan? And most people, I don't know what the plan is, I just know He has a plan. God wants you to know His plans. And I believe one of the ways of unveiling the plans, the mysteries, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and heart of man, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, is actually when God asks us questions. When God asks us questions, He's not actually looking for us to seek and search with our mental facilities and capacities to find some clever intellectual answer to that question. Rather, He's asking us to draw on the things of the Spirit. I spoke about this yesterday, but when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say I am? They went to their brain, and John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, they were trying to find, what do people say, what do people write on Facebook about Jesus? They're trying to find an answer about Jesus. And then Peter, probably in his lack of intellectual prowess, reached into the Spirit, and flesh and blood reveals something to him that, the Spirit, my Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit reveals something to Peter, which he hadn't heard, read in a book, or seen on the internet. And suddenly Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this. My Father in heaven has revealed this unto you. You know, guys, it takes the revelation and the work of the Holy Spirit to show us who Jesus is. Nobody really gets who Jesus is without the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me go further though. Nobody really gets who they are in Christ Jesus without the work of the Holy Spirit. And nobody really gets the plan that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered the heart of God without the Holy Spirit. He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And I think the Lord loves to set us up by asking us questions. Most of the time, imagine I have an empty, I don't have one here, but I've got an empty journal. Imagine this is a journal. I come before the Lord, Lord, I want your plan. In a way, it's like we're asking God questions. And I think, in my experience, both biblically and my own personal experience, and my experience ministering to others, God's normal, God's preferred method is that He will begin to ask you questions. And those questions are not invitations, as I say, to drum up an answer from the dregs of your memory. Rather, they're invitations to meet God in a new way. They're invitations to upgrade your walk with the Lord. They are invitations for you to step into a whole other place in your relationship with God. And I think if you want to write down, define, and again, I'm going to talk about this some more tomorrow. If you'd actually like to put definition around your call, I want to challenge you to begin to, get a journal, a notepad, a pen, a blank piece of paper, and come and say, Lord, I want you to ask me some questions. And I want those questions to be the framework for the answers that you will supply. Lord, I want you to set the terms of reference. You know, in effect, if we came to the Lord and said, Lord, here's a cricket pitch, here's a baseball, what are they called, baseball court, a pitch, whatever, here's a basketball court or whatever, I will allow you freedom, but you've got to play within this confine, these rules. On the whole, God will meet us in that place. When there's a denomination that comes and says, Lord, we love your Bible, but we'll only interact with the verses that speak on the new birth. We won't talk about healing or the Holy Spirit or, you know, blessing or, you know, many of the other benefits God's given to us. God will meet that church in the new birth and work with them there. And our danger is when we come with a prefabricated, predefined vision, or even the terms of reference of a vision, that often we've inherited from our parents, we've inherited from our culture. When we come with that pre-laid out set of parameters, will God work within them? Yes, he will. But we are, Psalm 78, I believe it is, limiting the Holy One of Israel. There are things that God has prepared for you that you know. There are things that God has prepared for you that you have a kind of vague inkling or some sense of. There are things that God has prepared for you that you have some reference point to, some other examples that you can follow, or other people who've done similar things before. There are probably things God's calling you to do that nobody else has ever done before. There are things that probably God is calling you to do and to be. And of course, do is the outworking of be, Selah. There are things God is calling you to do and be that you don't have any point of reference for. And my point is, allow God to define the game rather than inviting God into playing your game, if you follow my analogy. Rather say, Lord, why don't you define the game? And maybe this is a game I've never even seen before. Sometimes I'll watch a game. If I'm honest, when I watch American football, I mean, I vaguely understand the rules. I probably only watch the Super Bowl every year. That's the limit of my interaction with American football. I always find it funny when Americans call it the World Series, because hardly anybody else plays this game. You know, football is a different thing in nearly the whole world. When there's a soccer World Cup, literally every country plays it. My point is, I don't know those games. And I've never really, I haven't grown up in the culture of that game. So I can learn them, but it's not instinctive. I don't intuit that game in a sense. I grew up kicking a ball. I thought football was about a foot and a ball. Who knew? My point there is simply this. I think God wants you to not play the world's game, the devil's game, your parents' game, religion game, maybe your pastor's game, whatever. I think God has a whole new game for you to play. Come on, I'll finish with this, but I love the story in 1 Samuel where Goliath of the tribe of Gad, you know, they're really the people of Gaza at the time, the Philistines, they came and Goliath presents himself before the people of Israel, this massive giant, muscular, Arnold Schwarzenegger-like figure. And in a way, Goliath says to the people of Israel, here's what we'll do. Here's the game we will play. You choose a champion, send him out, he can fight me in the arena, and whichever one wins or loses, the tribe will rule over the other tribe. Now, the people of Israel looked at Goliath, they measured him, they looked at his tail, wow, the size of this guy. But why did they play his game? They lost because they played a game that he had defined. If you're going to play the devil's game, he's usually going to whoop you and win you. If he allows you into a place of temptation, don't be surprised when he wins that game. And yet, when David came, David, it's like he walked into that scenario, but he was more influenced by the intimacy, the worship, the meditation, the time he'd spent with the Lord on a hill looking after sheep, than he had looking at Goliath. And David basically walked into that arena going, I am not going to play your game. He refused to even play King Saul's game and wear the armor and take his sword or whatever. And anyway, David said, I'm going to play God's game. I'm going to play my game. I'm going to be who I am. And who I am will allow God to be who he is. You come against me with a sword and a shield, but I come against you, not with a sling, but with the name of the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. So don't play Satan's game. Learn to play God's game. God's game is rigged on your behalf, to your favor. When you play God's game, you play downhill. Selah. Boom. Hey guys, I'm going to end for today and I'll be back tomorrow and I'm going to talk more about really moving into definition. So again, I encourage you to grab a copy of this. You can order one online, link somewhere below, or you'll get a free copy when you sign up for our email newsletter. And I want to say thanks to everybody who's helping me get these videos out. We're going to be publishing a monthly faith budget for this soon, and I'd really love your help, your support, with putting God's word in front of brand new people every day. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. Drop me a line. Let me know if I can pray for you, and blessings in Jesus' name. Boom.